You are. Now, the children may be excused. This morning, we're going to continue our series entitled, What is the Church? New Testament Images of the Church. You see, the explanation, the description of the church that God gives to us in the New Testament is numerous images of the church. So we've been talking about the church as the people of God. Last 2 weeks, we've talked about the church as the body of Christ. As you can see on your bulletins this morning, we're going to talk about the church as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And each one of these images, they're like a mosaic. You know, they're one piece that illuminates a certain aspect of what the church is. And together, they form a beautiful picture, like a stained glass window. Each one of these images, like a stained glass window, the light shines through and illuminates for us, shows us what the church is and who we should be. So this morning, we're going to talk about the church as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to look at three different passages with you. So turn with me. The first passage is in Ephesians chapter 2. Seems that Ephesians chapter 2, Paul uses many different images of the church because we've been talking about this passage over the last few weeks. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to focus on verses 21 and 22, but why don't we just read the context? So let's start with verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul writes, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." So Paul in this passage is addressing the Gentiles, the non-Jewish Christians. You see, back in the first century, there was a huge rift, a huge enmity between Jews and Gentiles. It was even a capital crime, punishable by death, for Gentiles to enter into the inner courts of the temple. And Paul is saying that in Christ, Jew and Gentile has been brought together as one. And so he's saying that you, as Gentiles, you're no longer strangers. You're no longer foreigners, but now you are fellow citizens. You're part of God's people. You're part of God's family. And the family of God is another image of the church that we'll talk about later. But let's look at verse 20 here. Paul then begins to shift and to talk about this building metaphor, this image of the church as a temple. So verse 20, "Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." And so Paul is speaking of the church, both universal, the church with a capital C, the one church, all Christians in all nations of all languages, tribes, and tongues who call Jesus their Lord, both the church universal as well as, he says in verse 22, "in him you also," he's speaking of the local church in Ephesus. And so we could understand that we as well, Discovery Christian Community, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says, this temple is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. What does that mean? Well, Jesus is the cornerstone. Do you understand what a cornerstone is? In a building, the cornerstone is the first stone that is laid. And the cornerstone is the most important stone. You see, because the cornerstone will determine the place and the position of every other stone after it. And so if the cornerstone is even a little bit off, everything will be off. It has to be perfectly placed, and the cornerstone has to be perfectly cut because every other stone will be joined to that stone. And so if there's any, even a little mistake, even a little off, everything will be, the building will not be built correctly. And so Paul says, Jesus himself, he is our cornerstone. He's that perfect stone. His death on the cross, his resurrection, he's perfect. His work, his salvation, we don't need to add anything to it. It's perfect. That is the cornerstone. And on this, the foundation, Jesus is the cornerstone. On the foundation is the apostles and the prophets. Now, what does that mean? Well, who wrote the New Testament? The apostles, right? Matthew, Mark wrote Peter, you know, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, James, etc. So, The foundation of our faith, the foundation of the church, is the apostles' teaching. Every Sunday, we gather together hopefully not just on Sunday, and read the teaching of the apostles, the New Testament. That's the foundation of our faith. It's also the prophets. What are the prophets? Well, who wrote the Old Testament? The prophets wrote the Old Testament. Moses, the prophet of God, wrote the first five books. The prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, etc., wrote the prophetic books. Most of the Psalms were written by the prophets, and many of the chronological books were written by prophets. And so our faith is based on the Bible, the prophets' teaching, the Old Testament, and the apostles' teaching, the New Testament. That's the foundation. Jesus, of course, is the cornerstone, and the Bible, the Old Testament and the New, the apostles' and prophets' teaching is our foundation. But Paul says you and I, we're being built on this foundation. And so the picture of the church that he's trying to paint here is this building that is being built. And as each one is added to the Lord, it's this structure that is growing together. And verse 21, it says, in whom the whole structure. Now it's interesting, verse 21 begins with in whom. In whom? In Christ. Verse 22 begins with what? In him. In Christ. And so Paul is emphasizing this is all, it's in Christ. It's not by our works. It's not by anyone else. It's Christ. It's through Christ that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He says that being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In verse 22, you are also are being built together into a dwelling place for God. This must have been shocking to Paul's audience. You see, the image of a temple was very familiar to Paul's readers, both to Jews and to Gentiles. What did the Jews think of when they heard the word temple? Well, of course, they thought of the temple in Jerusalem, the most holy, the most sacred, the most important site in all of Judaism. It was something holy, and Paul says that's what you are. What did the Jews think? What did the Gentiles, the non-Jews, think of when they heard the image of a temple? They thought of pagan temples. What is a temple? A temple is just simply a house of God. It's a house that represents God's dwelling place. Now we know, Stephen said, that God does not dwell in temples made by human hands. Paul said in Acts 17:24, God doesn't dwell in temples made by human hands. If you look throughout human history, humans have been building temples. All religions in all countries, they've been building temples since the beginning of time. And Paul says that we are a holy temple. We are God's dwelling place. That word dwelling place literally means a permanent residence. Do you realize that this place, Discovery Christian Community, is a permanent residence of God's Spirit? And so automatically we're reminded this is a holy place. This is something sacred. It's not to be taken lightly. But look with me. In verse 21, Paul says, in whom the whole structure being joined together. In verse 22, you are also being built together. So the image there is this joined together speaks of the work of a mason. You have all these different stones, and his job is to join them together, right? Brick and mortar into one building. And this, of course, is the work of Christ to join us together. Isn't it amazing who God joins together in a church? You know, I was once asked to write an article. Many of you know I was a church planner in Austria and Europe, and our denomination asked me to write an article about our church. And I just talked about, you know, when I looked around at the people in our church, it just amazed me that the diversity in our church, all kinds of different languages and ethnicities and backgrounds and educational and social backgrounds and, you know, classes and income levels and you name it, any kind of category. It was just a great variety, a diversity. And Paul says, all these different stones, Jesus is joining them together. He is building us together. And I think that's important to understand. Church is important. You know, a lot of us as Christians, a lot of Christians will say, well, you know what, I've got my own relationship with God. You know, me and Jesus, we're good. We're buds. I can stay home. I can find better preachers than you, John, online, and I know. I can find better worship teams than this one online. Why do I need to go to church? Well, the church is the holy temple of God. Would you rather be a solitary stone somewhere out in the wilderness? Or would you rather be a stone in the temple of the living God? And you know what? It's painful, right? Because what does the mason have to do to fit the stones together? He's got to cut them. He's got a hammer and a chisel. He's got to chisel them away. And it hurts to be part of a church because, you know, when we're all alone, when it's just me and Jesus, we're good, and I'm good, and I don't notice my rough edges, right? But when I get in fellowship with others, when I hear the teaching of the word, when I get in fellowship, I realize, you know, I've got a lot of rough edges. And God convicts me of things in my life that he needs to change. And there's a price to pay. What is the reward? That we can together be joined together, be built together as one temple, one dwelling place of God. And it's by the Spirit. You see, when we talk about the church as a temple, we're not talking about this building. Does everybody understand? The church is not a building. The church is people. It's by the Spirit. It's a spiritual work of God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Peter makes this even clearer. It's a spiritual work. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Peter says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So Peter here is expressing God's vision for the church, God's desire for the church. He says, "You are living stones, and God is building you up into a spiritual house." You see, a temple made of brick and mortar, made of stone and wood, a temple made by human hands, that's not what God wants. That's not what he desires. That's not what he longs for. God's passion, God's desire is for a spiritual house made up of living stones. God's vision is for people, not buildings. You know, I hear a lot of amens, and I think most of us in this room, if we hear the statement, "The church is not a building, it's people," we would agree, right? The church does not consist of a building. The church consists of people. And yet I ask myself, do we really believe this? Is this really reflected in our convictions and in our practice as a church? You know, how many churches are so focused on their building? You know churches that are focused on their buildings? How many churches, their focus is, "Oh, all we need to do is renovate our building. You know, we got to change the stage, we got to change the lights, and you know, and then people will come." You know, they want to expand their building. They want a bigger building. All we have to do is build a bigger building and they'll come, right? There's this disconnect between, we affirm with our lips, the church consists of people, not of a building. But then in our practice as a church, we're just focused on maintaining, on renovating, on expanding, on building our building. God's vision for the church is a spiritual house made up of living stones. You see, God wants to build you and me up into a spiritual house. God's vision is to build people, not buildings. So if you're going to take away one thing from this sermon this morning, here it is. Discovery Christian Community, if we want our vision to be God's vision, if we want to have God's vision for this church, our vision has to be building people, not buildings. And as a new pastor here, I want to pledge to commit myself to not go through with a building plan or a renovation plan, so not talk about renovating this place or expanding this place before we have a plan for building people. How many of you have seen this? How many of you have seen this? Oh, how do I take this out, Scott? Can you see it? Yeah. How many of you can see this? Can you kind of see it? Can you kind of see it? Okay, well, this is an old blueprint for our church, right? We're meeting in phase one. I think there was three phases, cardboard cutouts. This is what our church was supposed to look like. Now, I'm not making fun of these plans. Please don't misunderstand me. But, you know, I find it interesting that when it comes time for building a building, when it comes time for renovating a building, that we have an exact plan in place, right? We're not going to start building until we have a blueprint, until we have models. We know exactly, we plan exactly what we're going to build, and then we build it. But why is it that when it comes to building people, we just kind of say, well, you know, we're just going to pray, or, you know, we're just going to study the Bible, or we're just going to, you know, worship, and somehow, some way, you know, people are going to grow. What if we planned for discipleship the same way we planned our buildings? What if we had a blueprint for discipleship in this church? What is our mission as a church? Our mission is to make disciples, right? The Great Commission. Go to all nations and make disciples. Methusate is the only command in the Great Commission. The only command is to make disciples. That's our job. Our mission is to make disciples. Our mission is to go out and reach lost people in this community and turn them into passionate, sincere, lifelong followers of Jesus Christ. That is our vision. That is our mission. So, why don't we have a blueprint in place for discipleship? God's vision is to build a spiritual house made up of living stones. If we want to have God's vision for this church, then first and foremost, we don't need a building plan. We don't need a renovation or a remodel plan. We need a people building plan. We need a plan, a blueprint in place for how we're going to take lost people in this community and turn them into authentic followers of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul writes, "Do you not know that you are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." So once again, Paul reminds the Corinthians, you are the temple of God by the Holy Spirit. You see, whoever believes in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, it says that he is born again of the Spirit, and God's Spirit lives inside of you. And so we are literally a dwelling place of God. We are at God's temple. But why is Paul saying this in this context? In this context, Paul is saying, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. So if anyone destroys God's church, they will be judged. Why is Paul saying this? Well, we have to understand the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says to the church in Corinth, you guys are carnal. You guys are babes. Why? Well, some of you say, well, I'm of Paul. Well, I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm of Peter. Well, I'm of Christ. You see, there were different factions in the church, different cliques, and they were fighting against each other. There was division and envy. And Paul says, who am I? Who is Apollos? We're just servants of God. You know, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. I can preach the gospel, but I can't save anyone. It's your decision to come to faith, to believe in Jesus Christ. I can teach the word of God, but I can't cause anyone to grow spiritually. That's the work of God. And then Paul talks in verse 10 about ministry as building. Once again, this building metaphor for ministry. He says in verse 10, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation, verse 12, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will reveal it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. What does that mean? Paul is comparing ministry, pastoral ministry, teaching other people, leading other people to construction work. Just as a construction worker, a foreman, or a contractor builds houses, so pastors, church planters, leaders, elders, they're building God's people. We're building God's people. We're building the church. And Paul says, be careful how you build. Not all church growth is equal. Be careful how you build. Now, the foundation of all growth is Christ. That's what Paul says. You know, if you go to university, you can grow in knowledge, some other kind of knowledge. But Christ is not the foundation of that knowledge. So that's not the church. The foundation of growth, of all growth, our foundation, of course, is Christ. But Paul says, be careful how you build on that foundation. And then he talks about there's gold, silver, precious stones, and there's wood, hay, and straw. Well, what does that mean? Paul says the day of judgment is like a fire, and it will test our work of what sort it is. You see, each one of us will have to stand before God and give account. And James says, let not many of you become teachers, because you will receive a stricter judgment. So God is going to test my work. God is going to test each one of us who ministers, who leads God's people, about the character of our work. Now, what's the difference between gold, silver, and precious stones, and wood, hay, and straw? Well, what happens when you throw gold, silver, and precious stones in a fire? They don't melt, right? They remain. That's why they're so valuable, right? They've been tested by fire. They're something permanent, something eternal. What happens when you throw wood, hay, or straw in a fire? It burns up. You know, there's a lot of wood, hay, and straw in the church nowadays. There's a lot of ways that churches can grow that will be revealed to actually not be of any value. In God's economy, it's growth. More people are added, but God, it will be revealed by God to not be really of God. Paul is rebuking the Corinthians, saying, you know, don't be wise according to the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to man. And the converse is true as well. God's wisdom is foolishness to man, and man's wisdom is foolishness to God. There's a lot of churches that try and that are built on the wisdom of man. And Paul says that this wisdom of man is wood, hay, and straw. It's not of value. It's not of any lasting value. You know, there's some churches that they run their churches like corporations. You know, the pastor is the CEO. And they're always studying business management. And it feels almost like, what is a greater source for you? A greater source of wisdom? A greater source of direction? You know, business management, business administration, or the Bible? That's the wisdom of man. And we know that business practices and management principles, they're always changing, right? They're here today and gone tomorrow. To build a church on business management is wood, hay, and straw. It will pass. There's other churches, they build their church on signs and wonders. You know, every week it's something different. One week you're falling down, the next week you're, you know, you're barking like a dog, or you're roaring like a lion, you're getting gold teeth. Every week there's something different. They build up this kind of sensationalism. Signs and wonders. And that's how the church will grow. Jesus said an adulterous generation seeks after signs and wonders. This is wood, hay, and straw. Outwardly to us it appears to be great growth, but it will in fact be revealed by the Lord to not be of any lasting value. There's some churches that grow very large because they talk about how God's purpose is to make you rich. God's purpose is for you to have a bigger house and a better car. You know, the whole purpose of God is for you to be the best you can be, the best life now. Now, of course, God loves us, and he will give us life abundant in Christ. But the ultimate good, the ultimate glory is Christ, is God, his will, his kingdom, doing his work. It's not about me. So this will be revealed, and these churches are growing. And on the outside, it appears, wow, it's being built up. But Paul says, hey, the fire will reveal it to be wood, hay, and straw. So what is true growth? What is the gold? What is the silver? What is the precious stones? Well, it's the wisdom of God. Building a church on the wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? The Bible, the Scriptures. And you know, when you build people on the Word, it takes time. I was amazed when I moved to Austria. I'm from California. Now, those who are aware of, have been to California, you know that the houses there are extremely expensive, and yet the materials are extremely cheap, right? You know, they're made of wood, very cheap materials. And so when I come to Austria and Europe, they take such great care building their homes. It literally, people take their whole lives to build their homes, decades working on their homes. They're built very sturdy, very strong. But you know what's interesting is that these homes, they're like heirlooms. They're passed on from generation to generation. They last, but they take time. Everything of great value takes time. If we want true growth, if we want growth that will be approved by God, growth that will last, then we have to build people not on man's wisdom, but on God's wisdom. And if we build people on God's wisdom, it takes time. We have to take time. But you know what? Over time it will grow. And it becomes, as we build people, as we make disciples, then the disciples make disciples, and it starts to grow and become exponential. Amen? Discovery Christian Community. This morning we've talked about the church as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the cornerstone. The Bible, the teachings of the apostles and the prophets, is the foundation. And we are being built up. We are being joined together. And it can be a painful process. We're so different. And yet God is joining us together as one. We need to have patience with one another. We need to not just stay home and say, it's just between me and the Lord. But we need to allow God to hammer and chisel us away, to fit us together with all of our different personalities, all of our different backgrounds. God is going to join us together as one holy temple. Secondly, we're not talking about our building. God's vision for the church is a spiritual house made up of living stones. You see, God is in the business of building people, not buildings. If we as a church want to have God's vision for our church, then our vision has to be first and foremost building people. How can we take lost people in this community and turn them into passionate, devoted, lifelong followers of Jesus Christ? We need to have a clear blueprint, a clear plan in place. Before we talk about what we're going to do with this building, we need to talk first and foremost about what we're going to do with people, because God's desire is for a spiritual house made up of living stones. Thirdly, we cannot build the church on man's wisdom. You know, on business and management principles. We can't build the church on signs and wonders. We can't build the church on health, wealth, and prosperity. This appears to be good, and people will flock and come, but God says this is man's wisdom, and it will be revealed in the day, in the last day, it will be revealed to be wood, hay, and stubble. It will be revealed to not be anything of lasting value. The only way to build God's people for eternity is to build people on God's word. And if we build people on God's word, then it takes time. But in the end, it will be a work of lasting value. It will be something which glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, you are our cornerstone. You are our foundation. Lord, we thank you for this word. Lord, the Bible. The Bible is our foundation. Lord, I just pray for our body, Discovery Christian Community. God, you are joining us together. You have been joining this body together. You have been building them up, and you are doing that today. God, we want to confess that it's not always easy to be part of a fellowship. Sometimes it's easier to be on our own. And yet, Lord, we acknowledge that you want each one of us to be living stones in your house. God, we want to confess and repent if we have, in our practice, placed a building projects or renovations, made that our priority. Lord, I want to ask you specifically for me, for the elders, for the board, for the leadership of this church, God, that you would give us vision, not for a building, but for people. God, our desire is to have a blueprint, to have a plan from you, from your word, of how to build people, to make them your disciples, God. Lord, I pray, Father, that in this church, Discovery Christian Community, that we would not compromise to the spirit of the age, building our house, building people with the wisdom of this world, building people with wood, hay, and straw, which today goes up and tomorrow is burned down. Lord, we pray that we would use the material you have given us, Lord, the building material of your word. Lord, may we have the time and the patience to build people on your eternal word. In Jesus' name, amen.